And now, young Widder Brown. At the little Simpsonville Hotel, Evan Brown's fiancée, Dr. Anthony Loring, is having a serious talk with Jim Morrison, the young man who threatens to wreck the life of lovely Dr. Allison Shaw. And because Allison saved her life, Evan is anxious to help Allison concerning Jim Morrison, to whom she was twice married and twice divorced. Now, Anthony is saying to Jim,
Allison Shaw is with my fiancée now, Mr. Morrison. If you want to talk to her on the telephone, you can reach her at Allen's house.
In other words, Dr. Loring, Allison has moved in.
How do you mean?
I mean that already Allison has allies.
My dear man, I was called in to quiet you down. You've been drinking to excess. You were being generally objectionable, and I had no idea who you were. I think if there's any bias, you've created it yourself.
You pull your punches, do you, Doctor? I don't know when I've listened to quite so much great talk.
You'll be listening to a great deal more, my friend, the longer you stay here.
You've treated many drink addicts like me?
A few.
And this is the therapy?
No, it varies. But here's some more straight talk. I'm chief of a fairly important institution here in Simpsonville, Health Center Hospital. My fiancée is recovering from a serious operation which Allison Shaw performed brilliantly. We owe Allison a debt.
And you feel I'm part of it?
I'm merely pointing out to you that I don't choose to accept you as part of it. I hope you and Allison can straighten out your affairs with the minimum effect on the hospital.
I'll try.
All right. I'll ring Ellen's number and see if it's still busy. She may have been trying to get me.
And even as Anthony delivers a calm statement of fact and policy to Jim Morrison, Ellen has been doing something of the same to Allison, now saying to her,
Allison, you keep telling yourself of the terrible bondage you're in to this man, Jim Morrison. How long is it since you've seen? A year, Ellen. A year. A year of freedom to surely give you perspective. But so long as you run away from him, so long as you let him pursue you and never turn to face him, you can't know whether or not you've developed any security from him.
Ellen, I told you I was two people.
That's absurd. I won't believe it. You're a strong person, Allison, with character and brilliance. Now, spend some of that on yourself. Make yourself the important one. Face Jim now. Perhaps instead of the terrible enslaving pity you feel for him, you'll be detached, civilized.
Civilized? That's a strange word.
There's something savage about slavery, either causing it or being part of it. If you cause it, you're evil. If you submit to it, you're either stupid or evil too, in a passive way.
Ellen, where do you get your self-confidence?
From believing in myself? And in God, and in Anthony Loring. I feel if you have the power of believing in anything, you're a person of faith.
And I lack faith.
Yes.
I don't in an operating room.
You see, there's your great hope. There is the thing that will give you the greatest security anyone can know, if you let it. If you turn from your feeling of slavery to Jim Morris.
It's strange. I can talk to you about all this quite calmly now.
Because you're acquiring a detachment toward him, Allison. I think you've been lonely. I think you've worked with this older doctor. You've been a wonderfully professional person. But always you wanted what ordinary girls had. The security of a man loving you. You probably never gave a time to finding the right one. You took Jim Morrison, and you thought he was to take care of all that for you. You could turn to your work. You were married.
Darren, you're frightening me when you talk like that.
Because it's so true.
Because it's so true.
Just a minute. Hello?
Hello, Ellen. Who in the world are you going to talk to?
On the phone? No one, Anthony.
Well, I've rung several times and gotten a busy signal.
Well, I can't understand it. I've been here talking with Allison.
Oh, she's still there then. Good. Tell her that her ex-husband, Jim Morrison, wants to talk to her.
Oh, well, what?
I'm in his room over at the mansion house.
How is he, Anthony?
All right.
Yes. Allison.
Yes, Ellen.
Jim Morrison wants to talk to you. Anthony is putting him on the phone.
No. No, I won't do it. Allison, you talk to him. You tell him.
Allison, stop it. You cannot let yourself go to pieces like that.
I can't talk to him.
What shall I say?
Hello? Hello?
Allison, what can I tell him?
Ellen, this is Jim Morrison. You don't have to tell me anything. Allison's afraid to talk to me, isn't she?
Mr. Morrison, I'm sorry.
Allison. I'm not brave enough. I can't say.
All right, Allison, don't. It's all right. You don't have to yet. Mr. Morrison, may I talk to Dr. Loring again, please?
Yes, certainly. Hello, Alison.
Anthony, Alison has gone to pieces. She doesn't want to talk to Jim Morrison. Will you explain?
Yes, of course I'll explain. I'll be delighted. And then after that, dear, do you suppose I could get back to the hospital? Do you suppose when Alison is finished with her hysterics, she could be persuaded to go to work?
Don't, Anthony. I know how annoyed you are, but just... Well, goodbye, dear. I have to help Alison. Look, Alison, the best thing for you to do, I think, is to go to the hospital and get to work. Forget that Jim is here. Let us handle it. Let us try to convince him that he should let you alone.
You're changing your tune, Ellen.
You couldn't talk to anyone in the condition you're in now, Alison.
What did Jim say? Had he been drinking? Was he blurred and incoherent?
No. No, he had a very nice voice, I thought. He spoke very gently. He said that he understood that you were afraid to talk to him. He sounded very pleasant.
Ellen is puzzled at the sound of that pleasant voice and of the abject hysteria that has come over Alison. But she helps the girl get herself in shape to go back to the hospital. Meanwhile, at the mansion house, Anthony has been silently closing his bag. Now, as Jim Morrison watches him, Anthony says,
Morrison, I'm going back to my hospital. You'll be all right till your next drink. That's all I can tell you.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Lorry. I owe you for these visits.
No, forget it. It's unimportant.
Alison wouldn't talk to me.
No.
Ellen, that girl of yours, I don't know her last name, so I call her Ellen.
Her last name is Brown. What about her?
She was in a spot. Alison was having one of her fits, I guess. That sounds chivalrous on me, isn't it?
Look, I don't want to talk about Alison.
But could I say this, Doctor? That there's a poem by a writer named Lindsay called The Menagerie, in which all of a sudden he thinks he's in the cave and the animals are looking at him.
I don't have a great deal of time for poetry.
I mean, isn't there anybody around, do you think, who might just think Alison was not quite the martyr that... I'm sorry, Doctor. I'm sorry. Goodbye. If I send a check to your hospital auxiliary or whatever, will that be all right?
That would be very good. Are you planning to stay here long?
I don't think so.
Goodbye, then.
Goodbye. Alison's at it again. I don't see what you're able to do. I've got that telephone book. There we are. Simpsonville telephone book. And Brown begins with a B. And Ellen begins with an E. And what does Jim Morrison begin with? And can he begin? Can he begin or can he merely end?
And now, a little later, Ellen hears her front doorbell ring.
Well, this day won't settle down, evidently. Yes?
Ellen Brown?
Yes?
I'm Jim Morrison. May I come in?
Yes, of course.
Alison has left?
Yes, Mr. Morrison, she has.
I'm glad of that. I didn't want to force myself on her, you know. All on you. So at any point, will you tell me to go? I should be very sorry.
Why have you come?
Because I liked your voice. Because I wondered if somewhere in the world there wasn't someone who'd listen to my side of the story. Strange how obsessed I am with the determination that someone hear me out. Are you a good listener, Ellen Brown? You must be. You have cool, lovely eyes and a gentle voice. And believe me, I have not been drinking. You just listen so gently, so calmly. You know I'm in my right mind, don't you? Say it, Ellen. Say that you know I'm perfectly sober.
You are sober, Mr. Morrison. Perfectly sober.
A strange excitement comes over Ellen as she listens to Jim Morrison, as she recognizes the earnest supplication in his voice. And yet in her mind, there is a warning of Allison's bondage to this man. Is this how Allison's bondage began? Did Jim stir Allison the way he has stirred young Widow Brown?